Welcome to the pre-service chat. Today is an exciting day. It is Grad Sunday, and we are here with Calista.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Nice. Well, this is, no, you wouldn't rather be anywhere else than in front of a camera in front of our whole church, right?
Totally not scary.
Yeah. This is... However, I know this is scary for you, but this is not even the scariest thing you've done this week, right?
No, somewhat close to it.
All right.
But earlier this week, this Thursday, I went bungee swinging in Nanaimo at Wild Play.
And you, so bungee swinging, what is that?
So it's the same bridge you go like bungee jumping off, but like the axle, the point you're connected to is several feet out from the bridge, and you're sitting on the bridge, and then you slide off the bridge and go.
So you just, you're on a, the bridge is perfectly fine, correct?
Yes.
And so there'd be nothing wrong would happen with you if you just stayed on the bridge.
No.
But you're...
In the moment, I think I would have preferred to stay on the bridge. I was on the edge of the bridge holding on to the hand. It's going, no, 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 I'm not going.
But and then sure enough, you did.
After 10 minutes, yes.
And and that's actually similar here. I'm saying, hey, Calista, we need you to do the pre-service chat. No, I don't know if I'm comfortable than that. And here you are. You jumped off and you did it. And thank you for coming out for Grad Sunday. And... this is something we've done just for a while at our church. We celebrate grads. We celebrated your sister last year, and now you, and you got a couple other sisters in the years to come.
Yeah. Two others.
Yeah, two others. So they'll have their respective Grad Sundays one day. But for today, you're the special person.
Yes.
Yeah, how does that feel? Yeah.
A little bit scary, like going off the bridge, experiencing something new, not doing school anymore. I'm kind of thankful. I did not like English much in school, so I'm happy for that.
So going back, the school memories, I mean, share some fun memories, if there were any, of high school, going through all that.
Oh, I don't know. I've been homeschooled, so all my memories would be with my sisters, and I don't want to embarrass them in front of the camera.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. And, I mean, so how is it homeschooled? Because, like, I was... and I'm sure everyone on the camera already knows this. They just see me and they're like, okay, he probably wasn't like the great, like nice kid in school. So I liked to mess with my teachers all the time, pull pranks, do stupid stuff. It's your mom though. So what can you do to prank your mom in homeschool?
In the family? I'm the one who pranks her the most. I'm the troublemaker.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. So. Of the Taylor school, I'm the troublemaker.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
So we have a lot in common there, the troublemakers in class. So you said you didn't like English in school.
What? Least favorite subject.
Why? It's the language you speak. What's wrong with it?
There's no answer to it, really. Oh. I guess my mom is my only teacher, and she's a really, really good teacher. But it really just depends on what the teacher thinks should be the answer. There's no, it's not concrete.
Yeah, you just gotta write. Well, the thing, English is it's all right because, and here's why I kind of didn't hate English, is because if you don't know anything, you can just write some stuff.
And
get like a C or a C+, because they're like, well, at least this ding dong decided to write some things.
You can fake your way through
it. I mean, math, if you got a wrong answer there, you're wrong.
But there is an answer that makes sense.
Not one that I could find, okay? So you like math? What's your favorite subject?
I learned this year, I took physics for the first time, and my favorite, because you're taking math, and then there's a practical sense to it, so there's like something you can see, and like, okay, it works like that because of this reason in math. Yeah. I enjoy it so much.
Oh, Calista.
I took two physics classes this year because I enjoyed it.
I remember, oh my goodness, okay. No, physics is the like, if you have a train going one way at 54 miles an hour and then does this thing, and then another train going from Chicago to Illinois or to, And then it's going 24 miles an hour. When are they going to crash? Whatever. Maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of like a math practice problem because it depends what you're including in your equation there.
I don't know. I'm all out. You've reached the depths of my physics knowledge already, Calista. So we're going to try, before everyone else in the pre-service chat realizes that I don't know what I'm talking about, we're gonna move on. You've had like maybe an interesting schooling experience, one being homeschooled,
yes.
But the second with kind of your last 2 years of COVID, right? And how has that maybe changed your schooling or maybe even just life in general as a high school student?
If I'm being honest, it really hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
It was mostly online to begin with, and then it just continued online.
Yeah.
I heard a lot about other people's struggle with Zoom. I've been using Zoom since like grade 3.
Really?
Interesting to hear other people talk about it and Zoom problems and muted mics.
Zoom was around when you were in grade 3? That didn't show up in 2020.
Long before. I would have Zoom calls like 3 times a week.
We're going to have to fact check you on that because I'm pretty sure Zoom was created in March of 2020. That's a lie. So,
okay.
Yeah. Did you already dislike Zoom, or is that something you've grown to hate, or it's just part of your life?
Out of the different video conferencing apps, Zoom is one of the ones I don't like the most.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Since COVID, though, they have put more effort in, and it has improved a little bit.
What a terrible app. Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, so what about other areas of your life? So schooling for you kind of stayed similar. Yeah, what about everything else?
Obviously, the social aspect kind of diminished a little bit. Mm-hmm. Still online a little bit, but yeah. For actually grade 11 and grade 12, I was planning to go to public school.
Oh, yeah,
so
I
was
that.
Planning to change up. So that's one way my schooling has been affected.
Yeah, that's pretty huge too.
Yeah.
Why were you wanting to kind of have that different experience?
I wanted to have more of a social experience because I would talk with friends and they would talk about their high school experience and like whoever did this, whoever was doing this, and like that kind of sounds like fun. Sometimes it sounded like, oh, that's not much fun, bullying.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, I kind of want to experience that.
Yeah.
But now there's college.
Yeah.
And I think there's the high school drama might turn into college drama.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. I mean, college, my college experience was, kind of unique in a way because it was a lot of, Christian-based stuff. But that's exciting. And for you, you're starting to take some steps into what the future holds.
Yes.
I mean, I know, I was talking to some of the other staff here. Every grad's least favorite question is, what do you want to do after high school, right?
I hear that one a lot.
Yeah, right? So I won't do that question now because you've probably been there enough. But what are some of the things you're looking forward to or setting up for the rest of your life?
Ooh, I'm interested in the trade. I'm becoming an electrician. Right now I'm deciding between two careers, either an electrician or a mechanical engineer.
Yeah.
So right now I'm exploring the trades and I've just had actually a lot of work experience doing electrical things, and it has all been very good. Everyone's super friendly on the job site.
Yeah.
I mess up constantly, wiring plugs the wrong way. I spent a whole day wiring plugs, and I was taught how to do it. And I was doing one thing wrong. I wasn't wrapping the ground wire. So the whole day, all the work I did that day was wrong.
And then did you have to take it out and then redo it?
I felt even worse because someone had to go around and follow me and fix everyone that I did.
Were they following you as you were doing it, but not correct?
No.
Okay. Because that would have been...
Yeah.
All right. So that would have been being mean. Okay. Electrical stuff, that's great. I'm such a... ding dong with electrical stuff. I remember putting in Christmas lights, and I went to check and see if they were working great. And I had to like put them around like the corners of the ceiling. And so I first make sure they're working, and then I go to staple them as they're lit up. And sure enough, with the staple gun, I poked through a wire and got myself pretty good there. Yeah. So, I mean, you're not alone in making electrical mistakes. So that's exciting for kind of some future stories to hold, but I mean, there's more to you than just kind of the career path. And I mean, one of the exciting things this year has been seeing you as one of our youth leaders and yes. taking you into that team. How has that been for you this year?
I have really enjoyed it. We had a group of girls, I think a larger group, like 10,
yeah.
11.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed it so much. They are so energetic yeah. all the time, which is good. yeah, it has been a learning experience for me, and talking with the girls and praying with them and watching them grow as well.
Yeah.
It's been neat to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been so exciting to see you join our team, and I think you bring so much to our team, and especially for those girls, and a few of them in particular, you've just really connected with, and just really gone above and beyond to reach out to them and help them with all the struggles they're going through in grade six, right? So that's been really cool.
And having fun, blowing yeah. water balloons.
Yes, a yes. lot of water balloons. We had 600 water balloons on our year-end party. Right. A few of those were thrown at yours truly here, but that was a fun time.
It was fun.
And even getting connected in a micro church, and I've seen
yes.
There's been some cool stories. You even had like a little bit of a grad ceremony.
Yes,
right?
That was good.
Yeah? What did you guys
do? Lots of food. Took pictures. We had like a big like barbecue thing, salmon. Yeah. It was really tasty.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah. But, yeah, because you had some foreign exchange students who were also graduating, right? In those families.
Two.
Cool.
Both from China.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, cool. So three grads in your micro church.
Yes.
That is awesome. And so we want to, shout out to those grads. That's so great. And really, all of our grads here at SBC, thank you for putting the work that you do into it. It's a lot of work.
Yes.
High school is not easy. And you did it. And did it in a really tough season, too, through COVID. We're so proud of you. All of SBC is behind you and encouraging you in whatever is going on for the next year and the year to come. And thank you, Calista, for representing those grads here with us today. And we are excited to just celebrate our grads. So thanks for joining us. Now over to the service.
Thank you.
SBC exists to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. Mission is not dependent on us being program-centric or Sunday-centric or building-centric. Inspire and equip and challenge people to live 6-8 wherever they find themselves.
Welcome to the service for June 27th, 1985. Wait, oh, sorry, 2021. But if you are feeling nostalgic about the 80s, we have the perfect thing for you. Our SBC Backyard Summer Camps are happening this year and they are 80s themed and we'd love for you to join one. So as restrictions ease up, you can invite your friends, your family to a backyard camp for the kids. For more information, please email office@sandwichbaptist.org. We are currently looking for a few people to fill some positions we have at SBC. A summer receptionist position, a Sunday custodian position, and a worship intern. If you're interested in any of those, please email office@sandwichbaptist.org for more information. We're now offering in-person services at both of our campuses, 10 o'clock at Wilkinson Road campus and 11 o'clock at CPC. If you would like to be here, please register on our website to get connected to that. That's all of our announcements for today. Enjoy the rest of the service.
It is me. Well, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning. To those of you in the house, it is feeling nice and cool with this AC. For those of you at home, we hope you're staying cool too. But we are so grateful to be here and to be leading worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And just as we get started, we're going to teach you guys a new song, actually, as we start off. I know, weird. At the very beginning? Are you sure? But I'm going to start us off first with this call to worship. It's based out of Psalm 24 and Ephesians 1. And it says, "Lift up the gates of your soul. Open the closed doors of your mind, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord God of countless hosts, the Lord strong and mighty. Who is he, this King of glory? The God who is mighty in battle, the Lord faithful and true. This is the King of glory. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mighty are you. We welcome you here. We worship you now. Yes, all hail the King of glory. So I'm going to invite those of you in the room to stand with us as we sing, even though you might not be able to sing, as someone said, just an excuse to dance. So feel free to dance those hands in a clapping manner. Feel free to move and to open your hearts and minds to the King of glory as we sing this song. This is called Battle Belongs, and it's pretty simple, so I think you'll catch on pretty quick. The battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. There's nothing impossible for you. Yeah. When I see all the ashes, you see the beauty. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine.
Oh!
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy, would our could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken. My living hope. morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Yes. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Oh no, 'cause Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living. Oh, oh God, you are my living. Oh. Amen. Jesus, we do declare that you are our living hope. That where we were not able to meet you, where we were held back by sin, that you sent your son Jesus to bridge that gap, to cross the chasm that lay between us. Because you love us, and because you want to have relationship with us, you want us to be at your party. So God, we thank you that you are a way maker and a promise keeper and a miracle worker and all of these things. You are powerful and you work your good in our lives because you want to know us, because you love us. So God, we just acknowledge who you are. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the praise. And we worship you this morning. So we pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. You may be seated.
And children, you can go with Christina, who is in the back there. She's waving, or you know where Christina is. You can go find Christina. Good morning, everyone. And before, come out from behind the screen. We can't sing, right? And you don't want me doing a solo. But it is this wonderful lady's birthday today, so let's give her a big hand.
I'll slide into the shot with my mask on now.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I thought you were going to start singing, and I was
No,
concerned.
I can't sing.
Yeah.
Because everybody would leave the building. Jake. Where's Jake?
He already sang.
No, he didn't. Where's Jake? Come on, Jake. A happy birthday solo here for your wife. Come on. No pressure. Come on. Woohoo! Right? Now let's go, Jake. Come on. Okay. Lady Kim, no less. Jake's birthday present was a little plot of land, like 5 feet, right? In Scotland. And so now she's a lady. So, oh, yes, we have to... Yes, we have to bow, or I don't know what we do. Lady Kim. All right, go ahead, Jake. You can.
Like, happy birthday,
yeah, because we can't sing, right?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lady Kim. Happy birthday to you.
Woo! All right, there we go. I hope you have a great day. I'll see you in a few minutes. Yeah, they're heading out to CPC, where I'm going after this as well. But it is so good to have you online with us this morning. It is also good to have people in the audience. You have no idea how nice it is to be speaking to people. And it's been good because we've had the tech team and the worship team here, but it's only like a very few people. It's nice to have a little bigger audience this morning. And just a couple of things before we jump in, both for those of you online and those of you here. And that is, we want to extend our sympathies to Pathma and the family. And not Pathma, sorry, Siva and the family. Pathma passed away this past week. And a wonderful lady who has left an amazing legacy. And we know that she heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when she entered into the presence of the Lord. But we want to be praying for Siva and the family as they mourn. And we are going to have a celebration of life for Pathma in the later summer when we're more open. Let me also be encouraging you to pray for the Anderson Rempel families today. Carla's mom passed away recently, and they're having a celebration of life just for the family here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's also going to be streamed on online. And where do we get that link, Lindsay? Okay, Deanna Gilmore's Facebook, or, yeah, go to Deanna Gilmore Facebook. She's going to get a whole bunch more friends now. That's one way, I guess, to get friends. The link is going to be there. Also, our AGM was held this last week. We did it through Zoom and SurveyMonkey. And just to let everybody know, our bylaw amendments, our budget, both passed. And also, Ryan Cardinal is one of our new servant leaders. And we thank him for stepping up and taking on that role. Also, you probably are all aware that this week we are going to move to stage 3 in our COVID opening as a province. And this last week, the staff team met, and we've come up with a tentative opening plan, but we have to wait until Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever the news conference is, to see what Dr. Henry says, and then we're going to compare those two things, and then we will come up with a solid opening plan that is in accordance with the health directives and guidelines, and we will share that with you next week at the pre-show. So July 4th, we are staying, no matter what happens, July 4th, we are staying with the two services, 50 people, you need to register just like this week, and then but I'm pretty sure next Sunday we're going to be at a sing, so that's going to be cool. So, but we will let you know on the pre-show next Sunday where we're going for July 11th and beyond, so be looking for that. You know, as you think about our COVID period over the last 14 months, there have been some positives for sure, but there's been a number of negatives. And I think two of the negatives are this. Number one, we haven't been able to mourn well with others. You know, a number of you have faced a loss, a tragedy, and you haven't been able to get the community together to mourn with you. And that has been so, so hard on people. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, I think also one of the negatives have been we haven't been able to celebrate well. We haven't been able to celebrate big events well because we haven't been able to get together. And I want to ask you this morning, if you were throwing a party, who would you invite? If you were going to throw a big COVID's opening up, we're opening up, COVID's done, post-COVID party, who would you invite? And along that line, what are some of the activities you associate with a great party? I was thinking about that this week, and I think one of the activities, at least I associate with a great party, is someone is there who is a good storyteller. Storytelling can be something that really makes a party great. And as you read through the Gospels, you find that Jesus told some of his best stories at dinner parties. In Luke 14, we find Jesus is at a dinner party at a religious leader's home, and the room becomes full of tension because Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. Actually, Lindsay Anderson spoke about that part of Luke 14 a couple of weeks ago. And the tension further escalated as Jesus silenced his critics by exposing their judgmentalism and their prideful selfishness. And so the atmosphere was tense at this dinner party when someone blurted out this in Luke 14, verse 15. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Now, most likely the person said that to break the tension. It was the old, let's ease the tension by changing the topic. The statement was referring to an event that was yet to take place. The event was known as the Messianic Banquet. The Jewish people believed that when the kingdom of God came in all its fullness, when there was a new heaven and a new earth, there would be a great banquet with the Messiah. The first time this event is referred to is in Isaiah chapter 25. And in that chapter, Isaiah dreamt of a great party that would be held at the end of history, in which the Lord of hosts will spread a banquet of the best meats and the finest of wines. And the guests will include people from all nations. Now, when the person at this party blurted out, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God, Jesus saw that statement as an opportunity, a teaching moment, and so he told the story. Here's a story starting in verse 16. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant to go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the cripple, the blind, the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Let's go back to the beginning of the story, verse 16. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. A host was preparing for a great banquet and wanted to invite his friends and others. It would have been the upper class of the village or the town. And back then, what would happen is a host would send out invitations inviting people to the party. And then based on how many people accepted the invitation, the host would decide how much and what kind of meat he would serve. Then on the day of the banquet, the animals would be butchered and the banquet would be prepared. And when everything was ready, the food was cooked, the place was set up, everything was ready, then the master would send out a servant to go to the invited guests and say, come, the banquet is ready. Now, back then, when you accepted the invitation initially, you were obligated to attend. There was no out. Once you said, yes, I'm going to come to the banquet, you were obligated to attend. And yet, in verse 18 of the story Jesus told, You notice the strange turn that happens. It says in verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The invited guests, the ones who had accepted the invitation, the ones who were obligated to go, started making excuses as to why they couldn't come. One farmer said, I just bought a field. I must go see it. Please excuse me. In that day, buying or the selling of cropland was a very long and exacting process that usually took months, if not years. Before a farmer would buy a piece of land, he would know every inch of that land. He would know everything about the soil, everything he could know about that land, he would know before he bought it. No one back then would buy land sight unseen. And so the excuse was both feeble and would have been a huge insult to the host. Another farmer said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out, so please excuse me. Back then, teams of oxen were sold in one of two ways. First, at the edge of the market, there would have been probably a field for the buyer to test the oxen for strength and evenness of pull before he bought them. A second way oxen were sold back then, in small villages in particular, is a farmer would announce that he was selling some oxen and would invite interested buyers to come to his farm and try them out. Testing the oxen would always take place before a price was negotiated and a sale was finalized. No farmer would ever buy an oxen without testing them. The excuse was a poor one. And then there's a married guy. He says, I just got married, so I can't come. To suggest you were busy with your new wife would have been considered very rude in a culture that was extremely discreet about sex. As you can see, all the excuses were nonsense. They would have insulted and shamed the host. But you notice the host's response in verse 21? The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The host was angry. That's understandable. He had invited these people. They said they were going to come. They were obligated to come. He had created all this food for them. And then they said, we're not coming. I think that would frustrate or anger any of us. And yet this host was determined that the banquet was going to go ahead. And so he told his servant to invite the village outcasts, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. The servant extended his master's gracious invitation to the outcasts of the village. People who would have never been invited to this type of banquet were now invited. Once all the local outcasts had entered the banquet hall, the servant noted that the seats, there were still empty seats. And so he reported this to the host. And the host said this, verse 22. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. The host told the servant to go out to the village and beyond and invite outsiders. Compel them to come. Outsiders, people outside the village who had no social standing at all would have had a hard time believing that they were invited to a feast like this. And so the host told the servant to compel them, to convince them to come. You notice that he did that. And then the story concludes with the host saying this, verse 24. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. It's a powerful story. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that there are 3 truths for us in this banquet. There, in this story, there's probably more, but I'm going to give you 3 truths. Here's the first one. There is a banquet. Truth number one, there is a banquet. There is a future time coming when the kingdom will come in all its fullness. The Bible teaches us that there will be a day when there is a new heaven and a new earth, and the kingdom will come in all its fullness. And Jesus will be united to his bride, the church. And there will be, the Bible teaches, a great marriage feast, the messianic banquet. And it's a party you won't want to miss. And as I've said many, many times, we live today in an in-between time. God has had his D-Day. It was the cross and the resurrection. And God is going to have his victory day when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we live in this in-between time. And in this in-between time, we experience the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God in part. Not in its complete fullness. And as we experience the kingdom of God in part, shouldn't we also experience in part some of the joy and the celebration that will happen when the kingdom does come in all its fullness? It's interesting to me that one of the key metaphors Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God is that of a party or a banquet. Now, for some people, that's surely a surprising metaphor. After all, I think many people think of God's kingdom as a serious, solemn place. A place ruled by a harsh, stern king. And yet, that's not the kind of God, nor the kind of kingdom we read about in the Gospels. Take the story of the prodigal son, another amazing story that Jesus told about this boy who gets his inheritance early and leaves his father and goes off and spends everything. And desperate, he comes home. And when he comes home, his father runs to him, throws his arms around him, hugs him, and says, "My son has come home. Let's have a party." In the story that Jesus told, the host represents God. And what is he doing? He's preparing a great banquet. Yes, God is holy and just, but he's also compassionate and loving. A gracious, loving, joyful God who loves celebration. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. How do you feel when you're at a good wedding? Don't you feel uplifted, energized, joyful? When you go to a good wedding and then you go to the reception and after all of that, you're walking out the door and you turn to whoever you went to the wedding with and go, "Man, that was a great time." The church is the bride of Christ. And we're supposed to be preparing for a great celebration. Thus, shouldn't every church be a life-giving place? A place of celebration and joy? Imagine if every church gave people a taste of the joy and the celebration that is supposed to come from being part of God's kingdom. Imagine how compelling that would be. Here's the second truth. Not only is there a banquet, but here's the second truth. We are invited. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, in chapter 21, there's some verses that Jewish authorities back in the day of Jesus interpreted to mean that no one who was blind or crippled or lame could enter the temple. Today it would be like us saying no one who is blind or crippled or lame could come into our church. It even went beyond that. Document shows that the Essenes sect interpreted Leviticus 21 to mean that the poor and the blind and the crippled and the lame wouldn't participate in the messianic banquet. In other words, they couldn't go to heaven or enter into the kingdom. And when you think about that, how significant is it then that in the story Jesus told, they're the very ones that are included? The outcasts, the poor, the cripples. They're the ones that are invited to the banquet that Jesus was talking about in his story. Listen, God is inviting all kinds of people to his banquet, including those we think should be excluded. He's inviting all kinds of people, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, indigenous, African American, Asian, single, married, divorced, widowed, young, old, gay, straight, non-binary, trans, educated, uneducated, addicted, homeless, mentally ill, liberals, conservative, NDP, green, blue collar, white collar, Muslim, Hindu, Baptist, Anglican, Pentecostal, Eastern Orthodox, Catholic, you get the idea. They're all on the guest list. They're all invited. Why? Because God made the guest list, not us. The story of the banquet can be summarized this way. The kingdom of God is here and you're invited into it. You're on the guest list. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you failed, you're invited into the kingdom of God. The question is, are you going to accept the invitation? Or like the guests in the story, are you going to make excuses? Listen, if you miss entering into God's kingdom, it isn't because you weren't invited. It's because you didn't accept the invitation. The story concluded with these words in verse 24. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. The religious leaders of the day thought, of course, we will be at the messianic banquet. And here Jesus is saying to them, don't be so sure. If you make excuses, if you don't accept the invitation, you won't enter the kingdom. You won't be at the banquet. Nothing in life should get in the way of you responding to God's invitation. And as I've said many, many times, the cross is a doorway into the kingdom. When we come to the cross and we say, Jesus, I want the work of the cross applied to my life. Jesus, I want to follow you. When we do that, we enter into the kingdom. We accept the invitation. We enter into the kingdom. And we get a new king. A loving king, a compassionate king, a holy king, a just king, a king who loves celebrations. We're all invited. The question is, have you accepted the invitation? Here's truth number three. There's a banquet. You're invited. Here's truth number three. We get to bring others with us. Like the servant in the story, we get to go out and invite others to the party, into the kingdom. I love the phrase, fill up his house. That's the challenge for us. We get to go fill up the house. Fill up the kingdom. We're to go out and love people and invite them into the kingdom. Invite them to the banquet. That's part of what our micro churches are all about. Little churches that are going to be all over the city. And these little micro churches are going to be all over the city. In homes, in other places. The mandate of them is to live Acts 2 together and be a family, a community together, care for one another, pray for one another, learn together. But it goes beyond that. We also want you, because we know God wants our micro churches to be active all over the city. And so we want people to seek in micro churches where God is calling them to go serve, and then go serve together where God wants them to be active. And as we go out all over the city in micro churches and as we serve together, We're going to get an opportunity to love on people and invite them to join the kingdom. Christians, churches, and Christians often fight culture. Have you noticed that? Often people know more about what we're against than what we're for. We like to protest. We like to argue. We like to fight. But what if the church in North America changed its approach? What if we went from arguing and fighting to figuring out ways to invite people to a party? I want to close this morning with a story that was told by Tony Campolo. It's about Tony Campolo, but it was told by him. Tony Campolo is a Christian leader. He's quite old now, but he's a Christian leader and an author. He was a sociologist at Eastern College and a powerful Christian leader in the latter part of the 20th century, for sure. Anyway, he tells a story. Tony flew to Hawaii to speak at a conference, and he couldn't sleep. So he found himself walking the streets of Honolulu looking for a place to get something to eat in the early morning hours. He finally found a grungy diner in an alley. And he went in there, and the grumpy-looking cook said to him, "What do you want?" And Tony thought, "Well, I'm going to play it safe." So he ordered a donut and coffee. And as he sat there, in walked several provocative, loud prostitutes. They had just finished their evening's work. And one of these ladies blurted out, "You know what? Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Her friend replied, "So what do you want from me, a birthday party?" To which the other lady replied, "Why do you have to be so mean? I'm just saying it's my birthday. I don't want anything from you. I mean, why should I have a birthday party? I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. Why should I have one now?" When Tony heard that, he made a decision. After the women left, he said to the cook, "Do they come in here every night?" "Yeah," the cook answered. Then Tony asked, "The one whose birthday it is tomorrow, does she come in here every night?" "Oh, yeah, that's Agnes. She's here every night. Why do you want to know?" "Well," Tony said, "she said tomorrow's her birthday. Do you think maybe we could throw a little birthday party for her right here in the diner?" I'll pick up the story from Tony's book. A smile crept over the man's chubby cheeks. "That's great," he says. "Yeah, that's a great. I like it." He turned to the kitchen and shouted to his wife, "Hey, come out here. There's a guy who's got a great idea. Tomorrow is Agnes's birthday. And he wants to throw a birthday party for her right here." His wife comes out. "That's terrific," she said. "You know, Agnes is really nice. She's always trying to help other people, and nobody does anything nice for her." So they make their plans. Tony says he'll be back at 2:30 a.m. the next morning with some decorations. And the man, whose name it turns out to be Harry, says he'll make the cake. At 2:30 the next morning, Tony is back. He has crepe paper and other decorations and a sign made of big pieces of cardboard that say, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." They decorate the place from one end to the other. It's looking great. Harry had gotten the word out on the street about the party, and by 3:15, it seemed that every prostitute in Honolulu was in the place. At 3:30 on the dot, the door swings open, and in walks Agnes and her friend. Tony has everybody ready. They all shout and scream, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" Agnes is completely flabbergasted. She's stunned. Her mouth falls open. Her knees start to buckle, and she almost falls over. And when the birthday cake with all its candles is carried out, that's when she totally loses it. Now she's sobbing and crying. Harry, who's not used to seeing a prostitute cry, gruffly mumbles, "Blow out the candles, Agnes. Blow out the candles. Cut the cake." She pulls herself together and blows out the candles, and everyone cheers and yells, "Cut the cake, Agnes. Cut the cake." But Agnes looks down at the cake, and without taking her eyes off it, slowly and softly says, "Look, Harry, is it all right with you if I mean, I don't know, here's what I want to ask. Is it okay if I keep the cake a little while? Is it all right if we don't eat the cake right away?" Harry doesn't know what to say, so he shrugs and says, "Sure, that's what you want to do, keep the cake. Take it home if you want." "Oh, could I?" Looking at Tony, she says, I just live down the street a couple of doors. I want to take the cake home. Is that okay? I'll be right back, honest." She gets off her stool and she picks up the cake and carries it high in front of her like it's a holy grail. Everybody watches in stunned silence, and when the door closes behind her, nobody seems to know what to do. They look at each other and they look at Tony. So Tony gets up on a chair and says, "What do you say we all pray together?" And there they are, in a hole-in-the-wall greasy spoon, half the prostitutes in Honolulu at 3:30 a.m., listening to Tony Campolo as he prays for Agnes, for her life, her health, and her salvation. Tony recalls, I prayed that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. When he's finished, Harry leans over and with a trace of hostility in his voice says, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to anyway?" And in one of those moments, when just the right words came, Tony answered quietly, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." Harry thinks for a moment and in a mocking way says, "No, you don't. There ain't no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. Yep, I'd join a church like that." What if we became known as a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning? What if we became known as a church that throws parties full of love and acceptance and grace? What if you threw those kind of parties? Jesus has come. The kingdom is here. The party has started. And you're invited. And oh, by the way, you get to bring some others with you. We're going to listen to a song that Jake and Kim have recorded. And as you listen to this song, as we prepare to close the service, I just want you to think about that. How is God calling you to go out and love and invite others to join him in his kingdom party? Let's listen to Kim and Jake.
All of these will come. are invited, and we also get to invite. What a powerful thought that is. This kingdom of God, celebrating with others, throwing parties for those who just feel unworthy. Oh, man. What a privilege to be called to be a part of that and to be invited to it. So good to see you all. It's great to have you with us in this room and on live stream. If you are looking to get connected, maybe you've got some things in your life that you could use some prayer over, just encourage you to hit our website, go to the Connect tab or the Prayer tab, either way, and just fill out the little form there. There will be people who would be willing to reach out to you and help you find your way at SBC and also be in prayer with you on that. So we just encourage you to check that out. We want to thank you for your ongoing support. We have received amazing financial support throughout this past year, and we want to thank you for that. Again, most of us have figured out how to do that, obviously. Actually, throughout the year, you can go online, hit the Give tab, but for those who are in person, there is an offering plate at the back. You can drop your offering off there, or if you want to make access of the debit machine, you can go to the office, and Lindsay Wise is there, and she will help you with that. Well, I just want to read our benediction this morning. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. And don't worry about anything. The God who created you, the Christ who redeems you, and the Spirit who empowers you is with you today and evermore. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for being with us, both of you online, and for those of you who are present, thank you. And you are dismissed. God bless you, and find some air conditioning. Lifted.